Yeah. And I like her now, see, because now I'm on the other side of the aisle. So I get her.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to think I was kind of a socialist.
Which side of the aisle? You keep me so confused about which side of the aisle you're on.
I thought.
I've got my popcorn and I move down the middle aisle. And I sit with who I want. No, but that was interesting. Good to see her back in. Very intelligent woman. How about Wall Street? You know, all that going on? That is just foodie booty.
Yeah. Well, everything's depending on Europe, it looks like.
Well, they had a concert there today. Joan Baez back on the scene. Diamonds and Rust.
Where'd she?
Yeah,
where
they had a concert. Had a concert.
Oh, you're talking
she
about
sang.
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street. They
I
had
thought
a concert.
You meant the actual Wall Street.
Nah, we're not talking about them. You know what's going on. There was a man that was shot and killed Thursday night at Tent City in Vermont.
And they
it
have
just keeps happening.
And they have TB outbreak in Occupy Wall Street in Atlanta.
When is that going to end? Seriously, when are they going to ask
knows?
Them to leave?
Don't know. Well, they're cracking down now. I mean, they took the the mayor of New York, of course, took all their fuel so they couldn't keep warm. So they're all freezing out there. They're just staying there. He said, no, this is, well, he's worried. You know, it's in
yes.
Oakland now. What's going on in Oakland?
The homeless people crazy. In Oakland are upset that the Occupy Wall Street are sleeping in their spots. So they want them gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when you start angering the homeless people, you
yeah, right?
really have gone too far.
Boy. When does the weirdness ever quit?
So maybe the Oakland mayor.
Wild, isn't it?
The Oakland mayor's just waiting for them to drive the homeless people off, so then he'll get rid of the Occupy Wall Street people.
Well, they did honor the veterans over the weekend, and you know that it
yeah,
is Veterans
nice.
Weekend,
of course.
Veterans Weekend.
God
How
bless all you
that?
Veterans out there.
God bless you is right. We need to do more for our veterans. We need to do more for our veterans. What can we do for our veterans? Give them jobs, huh?
Yeah. Well, there was an earthquake in Oklahoma.
Having a moment of silence.
Yes.
Earthquake, I know, I saw
it
that.
It looked like, when we left here last week, it looked like that was going to be the big story that we'd be talking about today.
Earthquake
and
in Oklahoma?
And it totally got overshadowed by the Gloria Allred, Herman right, Cain thing, right. and the Penn State mess. And
Mother Nature knows what she's doing. But we're into the drama of life.
Have you heard a word about the Oklahoma
I have
earthquake
not heard a word.
In the last few days?
5.6? 5.6, that's
Felt
what I heard.
All the way to Wisconsin.
Yes.
Nobody's even talking about it.
I know it.
Well, those don't worry us as much as what's going on in the world. Gosh.
It's all really handy for Obama, who's got one scandal after another coming out, but nobody's talking about it.
Well, how about that asteroid, just to change gears on you, the asteroid that came very, very close?
Was anybody worried?
No. I know, it was barely mentioned.
And then when somebody said, no, it passed us up. Oh, good. Okay, call on 56, line 2. You know? I mean, that's the way life goes on, right? And Rick Perry, what about that?
Oh,
that
I mean,
was
heaven.
Funny.
Commerce, energy, and education. What one did he mess up? He forgot energy? Or?
I can play that if you want.
Yes, please.
You know.
Well, I mean, everybody's been talking about it all week, the poor guy.
Did you hear it?
Yes.
It was
Let
horrible.
Let me see. There's education.
Energy, commerce.
And, I just can't remember that.
And then Ron Paul says, EPA? He says, yeah, EPA.
Yeah, EPA. No, it's not EPA. Let me see.
And then the questioner goes, are you serious? Well, no, I'm not serious. I just can't think of the third one.
They're gonna put him up on the cross because of it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And did I identify him after you left me in here that time?
Yeah.
Talking to a microphone with no one to talk to?
Oh.
My mind was completely blank, so I kind of felt
see
for
there?
Rick Perry.
It happens. Yeah, it happens on occasion.
But who thought of it? I mean, he is down now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy who's getting all the attention, I mean, you probably couldn't find nothing on Rick Perry.
And then he says, oops,
maybe some
at
little,
the end.
Yeah, oops. And that's what they talked about all week. Oops, his oops. Oh, my goodness. We better take our break here because we're going to come back because JP has his common sense today in honor of the veterans. And I think it's going to be very meaningful. So don't go away.
Nice. Cool beans.
You'll be back. We'll be back with the Broadview.
The Buzz.
Hello and welcome to Lab Coat Dating Service, where we use
science
to find you love.
But I just want to be able to meet people, you know, like they do on Cupid.com.
We're feeding all of your data into our scientific system.
Okay.
Hello, I am your scientific dating match.
What planet are you from?
I love you.
How do you know? We just met.
I love you.
When you think about it, it's simple. Before you fall in love, you have to meet someone to fall in love with. And at Cupid.com, we make it easier.
Igor, there's a problem.
You do not like the color green.
What happened to science?
That is not a match.
Science!
That's not a match.
Oh, no!
Come on, it isn't rocket science. There aren't hundreds of questions about your personality, and we promise none of us here wear lab coats. We're Cupid.com, and all we want to do is help you meet people that live in your area. It's true. Before you fall in love, you have to meet someone to fall in love with, and that's what we do at Cupid.com.
I love you.
Hey, sometimes love is closer than you think.
I love you.
Cupid.com.
Having financial needs? Now is the time for year-end planning. Cartledge Cartledge & Company started in 1958. They have been and still are the firm you can trust and rely on. They provide a wide variety of accounting, tax, financial management, and investment services tailor-made to meet your individual needs. Their job is to make your job easier so you can focus on what is important to you. They are the one stop for all your financial needs. Call Cartledge Cartledge at 826-3496. That's 826-3496 to see what they can do for you.
You can save money on the things you buy, from a coil change to a pizza pie, at 10RenoCoupons.com. And you can even win $10,000. Just go to the web and sign on up at 10RenoCoupons.com.
No purchase necessary. Must be at least 18 to enter. Void where prohibited by law. See site for rules. 10RenoCoupons.com.
Welcome back to Broadview, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
And welcome back. My co-host here, JP, who writes a column every week at jpattitude.com, and you've always got great stuff on there. I mean,
not this week.
Not this week, nothing? What are you down?
Because 2 weeks ago, I promised you I'd write a column about Obama's scandals, and it turns out there's so many of them, it's hard to do.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing a lot of homework.
JPattitude.com if you really want to know. But it is Veterans Weekend, and JP wrote something a couple of years ago. It's very touching as he was heading on a plane to go back to Michigan. It's very appropriate for the Veterans Weekend. So let's hear it now, Sean.
I wrote this 2 years ago on Veterans Day. Just hours before I got on a plane to fly back to Michigan to visit my parents. It's a story from World War II, and I wrote it in honor of veterans everywhere. It was January 13, 1945, in the Ardennes forests of Belgium. 29 days earlier, German forces under Field Marshal von Rundstedt had launched a full-scale attack aimed at Antwerp, the principal supply port of the Allied forces, beginning a last-ditch effort by Nazi Germany to avoid losing the war. The various confrontations resulting from this attack were labeled the Battle of the Bulge by American journalists during a Christmas press briefing when they saw the giant salient, or bulge, the Germans had created in the Allied lines. Much has been written about the fierce battles for Japanese-held islands in the Pacific and the incredible sea-to-land invasions of Sicily and Normandy, but the fact is, the Battle of the Bulge was the bloodiest battle for American forces in World War II. There were 89,500 American casualties, including 19,000 killed and 23,000 missing. The Germans counted on surprise and Hitler's belief that the Americans wouldn't fight. He was wrong. Almost everywhere the Germans went, they were held up and sometimes stopped cold by outnumbered American forces, the most famous example being the defenders of Bastogne, where General McAuliffe, when asked to surrender, gave the Germans his famous one-word reply, "Nuts," which the Germans had a hell of a time interpreting. After a week of futility, the Germans finally gave up the notion of taking Bastogne. Just south of the Belgian town of Petite-Langlure, that day was a cold and slightly depressed 25-year-old American captain in the 83rd Infantry Division. His name was Harry. He was cold because the winter of 1945 was a vicious winter, one of the coldest in memory, and everybody was cold. It was so cold that oil would congeal in engines if they weren't kept running, and even rifles had to be maintained rigorously or they would freeze into uselessness. The cold was an equal opportunity source of misery. Before daybreak, Harry and a German-speaking man named Hans Trudel had scouted close enough to enemy lines to hear shovels hitting frozen ground and men speaking. After creeping away, Harry asked Hans what the Germans were saying. "Same thing American soldiers are saying," replied Hans. They're griping about the cold, the snow, and having to dig another hole." A couple of days earlier, Harry and his company had found some rare warmth in a small village to the south.
Sleeping shoulder to shoulder in one of the houses, they were awakened in the middle of the night by knocking at the door. Standing outside was an entire family, including small children, shivering in the snow. They were the owners of the house, desperate to get out of the cold. Harry's first thought was to tell them, no, get lost. Soldiers at war commandeer what they need, and the Belgian villagers knew this. But when he saw the small children, he ordered his men to find space for them somewhere. Scenes like that played out every day. One night, standing beside a road in a horizontal blizzard, feeling cold and miserable and sorry for himself, he watched as two ghostly figures appeared out of the snow walking down the road. It was an old man and a tiny boy. The old man was pushing a wheelbarrow while the boy, arms stretching upward, held on to one of the handles. They passed without a word, and Harry was struck by the lousiness of war that treated old men and little boys so harshly. Thoughts like these of the waste and devastation of war and thoughts of his own wife and baby son back home in Michigan were part of the reason for Harry's lingering depression. The other part of the reason was something that happened the day before in the village of Byhane. Harry and his driver, Jimmy Lynch, along with Sergeant Hughes, were reconnoitering forward of the company and took shelter in a roofless store during a firefight. That's when an artillery shell came through the opening above, killing Sergeant Hughes and severely wounding Jimmy.